you stop it. Jump on it, jump on it, jump on it. It's Fans on Patrol.
Shit, hold up.
We're going with it. That's the entrance. Show one. It's show 112. 24-hour party with Sherlock is the name of the show. I'm your host, the Fans on Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. And with me, she's not the smooth one, but she's the studious and sensitive one, Miss Tifflebot. Good morning, madam.
Good morning.
Ooh-wee. It's the day after the party, and I haven't had a drink in like a month and a half, and I'm nursing a serious hangover, y'all, but I'm in the fight to end it to win it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. You're going to be just fine.
I'm going to hope so.
I'm going to shepherd you through this like you're my little lamb.
Oh, a little bit of help from my friends. Makes this show, serious. So we didn't get a chance to go see Jack Reacher because we had all the party stuff that was going on. So we promised Jack Reacher. We didn't get to Jack Reacher, so sorry about that. But we got news. We got a butt ton of news. We got some awesome comics. I'm just gonna go ahead and spoil it from the beginning, and I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we're gonna be talking about 24. Mm-hmm. We got some Star Trek news. We had some Benedict Cucumber Patch, as Open All Powers always calls him. And I'm like, that's not funny, guys.
You know? No, my favorite is Bubble Fuck Cumber Snatch.
Holy Jesus. Never heard that one before.
That's my favorite. You guys, his name is funny.
Oh, yeah, it is funny. And we got some J.J. Abrams news. So
yes.
With that,
there's a lot of news this week, actually. We thought it wasn't, but there's like some secret news. Like, you know, it kind of sailed under the radar.
The second page, I was like, whoa, I didn't see all this. Because I didn't pay attention to most of none of this stuff this week because I was so busy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tiff, you ready to get it started?
I'm so ready.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so this week we found out some news that 24 is getting a reboot, and it's going to star Straight Outta Compton star Corey Hawkins.
Yeah.
Did you watch the little trailer they had?
I did watch the trailer. I did.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing about this, and I had no interest in it, to be honest with you. I was like, 24 is Jack Bauer. You know, take him out of the equation. What do you got? But the trailer looked like 24.
Yeah, and it looks really good. Like, I never watched 24, full disclosure. I never watched that show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not my bag. Mm-hmm. But this one looks, I think it looks right. It looks not out of the ordinary. This looks like what a 24 show would be. But it looks pretty good. Nice pacing.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I had no interest. But I was a 24 fan. I watched all of them, except for the last season, because it was like a comeback season. And I haven't seen that one yet, but it's on Netflix, I think. But I think I'm going to give this a shot.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So is the whole season is one day, right?
One day.
So like every episode is an hour.
Every episode is an hour.
And then there's 24 episodes, so it's 24 hours.
It is.
Okay. So do you ever see him go to the bathroom?
I always used to talk about that. I'd be like, nobody takes a piss on 24, man.
I mean, but that would make, I know that it's kind of gross, but like, they should at least show like people coming out of the bathroom something, or like.
Something. Yeah.
They'll
like leave a character for a while.
That's the assumed bathroom time.
Well, right. Because they'll be like in the heart of the, you know, the center, and then the star will be running around out there alone doing whatever he's doing. So you assume at that time, maybe
that's
he stopped
when they're going
by
to the
bathroom.
That's
a tree.
When they're, you know,
Jack pissed on a tree while we were while we were talking to the president, you know, stuff like that. So
okay, all right. So there's like plausible like time for them to go to the. Okay, I'll forgive you 24 because that was like when I was younger. I always used to talk about that. I'd be like, when do they sleep? When do they go to the bathroom?
You know, the thing about the show that's 24 came out before Netflix, before people could binge episodes.
Yeah.
And so it would always have this gargantuan cliffhanger at the end of the show. And then you'd have to wait all the way to the next week just to find out what happens. And it was a true phenomenon. I mean, everybody, you know, that I knew was watching the show Monday morning, Tuesday morning at work, the whole office would just be buzzing about it. So I doubt if that ever happens again, because nowadays people don't have the patience, you know, because of Netflix. So we'll see, man. I mean, I'm going to give it a chance. I wasn't even going to give it a chance at first, but I'll at least watch it. You know, the star looks fine. The plot that they gave in the thing looks pretty good. You know, he's an ex-Ranger, and everybody in his unit got killed, and he's an FBI agent, and all hell is breaking loose, and that's all 24 was, all hell breaking loose, you know. So
so you don't have time to go to the bathroom. You crap your drawers.
You just do it. Well, you don't have to. Some people don't do that every 24 hours. So
that's true. You know what? Blowing my mind. Okay, so did you see much to my heartbreak that Brian Fuller is no longer going to be the showrunner for Star Trek Discovery?
No, I'm glad you said that, because that is much to your heartbreak. Why is that?
Because I love him.
Really? I don't know who this guy is. Him.
You don't know much about his stuff?
No, I mean,
besides Hannibal, which you don't like.
He did Hannibal, huh?
Yeah, Hannibal. Do you remember a show called Pushing Daisies?
Yes, I remember. I saw that in an article that he did that. I didn't know he did Hannibal. Let me say something about Hannibal. Hannibal was a gruesome ass show, man.
Yes,
But it was really well done. I mean, it was so gruesome. I think I told you before, I had to let it go once they got to the angel ones with the back speed. Yeah. Oh, I was like, okay.
That wasn't even the worst one.
I was like, I can't even do this no more. I was like, it's so bad. But it was really well done. It was like, damn, this is really, really good. The actors were just superb. You know, they were awesome.
Yes.
But so he did that. So it sounds like they fell out because they cast somebody. That's what all this.
It seemed like at first when you read the article that nothing was wrong.
Amicable
parting of the ways.
I'm going to move over and I'm going to do this.
Right, but then you read the bottom and it's like, oh, but there's been some stress because of who they cast as the captain.
Well, they said a young lieutenant, a female lieutenant, is going to be the star, right?
Yeah.
Which is weird.
You're right, lieutenant, because they're calling her number one.
Number one, which they could have just let go because y'all done did that like twice now. You know?
Yeah, you're good. You're good. You could be something else.
Exactly. Plus.
Speaking of Star Trek, the more I think about it, the more I think Voyager is really good.
Really? That's my least favorite ones.
That's crazy, because at first I thought so too.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I watch it, the more I like it.
I liked Enterprise better than Voyager.
Get on out of here. Did. Although I can't say anything because, you know, I like Enterprise.
Right. Right. Now, here's my problem with Voyager. I liked Tuvok really a lot. I liked the Doctor. He was probably my favorite character on there. You know, the hologram.
Yeah.
But I hated Neelix. Neelix
is really annoying.
He was. I didn't like Tess. I don't know why. Is it Kes? They tried to make her like some like sex symbol in that
suit. No, it's weird.
She wasn't fine or nothing. You know, I didn't like her. I liked who did I like? I didn't like the half Klingon chick. I think
Vailana.
She was the worst Klingon in the history of whoever put the ridges on her head. It was like, man, she's just a chick walking around with ridges on her head. I didn't like her at all. I didn't like Chakotay. See, all these don't like. I didn't like Chakotay, you know, and I really didn't like the captain. That damn voice of hers, and then.
I like Captain Janeway.
Every other episode, she was gonna blow up the ship. You know what I'm saying? True. I'm like,
she takes things into. What do you like, Tom Paris?
I just saw him at the Comic Palooza. He was okay. You know, he was okay. And so.
Well, it's hard to like a show when you don't connect with any of the people.
I like Tuvok and I like the Doctor. That's what actually.
But here's the thing, I do. I love the Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome.
So good. And I think that people did like him a lot because he shows up on Deep Space Nine.
Yes, he did. He did.
In the episode where they try to make another hologram Doctor.
He was all mad and jealous and stuff.
So, yeah, I'm just sad because I think Brian Fuller makes really good decisions as far as like, this is unique, different, and good. And I think he knows a lot about the Star Trek mythos. I think he's a fan. So he did write the first two episodes, it said, and he's responsible for the kind of overall feel of the show.
Do you think they, here's what I think happened. I think the star was a guy, and then they said, man, Star Wars did Force Awakens with a woman. And she's awesome. And this new one is coming out and she looks awesome. Why don't we change the gender? I bet you they did that. How much you want to bet, Tiff?
Brian Fuller's pretty famous for being like gender equalizing. So, like, he took some of the people in Hannibal and made them females, even though they were males.
Yeah, but here's my deal. If the character was, you know, it's one thing to write something like that, but it's a different thing just to say, okay, you're a woman now. You know what I'm saying? Just to mess around with somebody's formula, whether, you know,
interviews and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Who knows? We'll never know the secrets.
No, we won't know, but that's what I think happened. I mean, I think, you know, this casting thing came out. I doubt if it has anything to do with the actress more than the character itself, man. I bet you. They've had, they had Captain Janeway. She was only female, right? But now it seems like it seems like pandering now. To, you know, let's make it a female, you know, instead of just let's make it a character. So anyway.
Yeah. So moving on. Do you watch Sherlock?
I love Sherlock.
Oh, my goodness. So did you like the trailer?
I did like the trailer.
It looks intense.
Now, you know, the BBC sucks ass, everybody. You know, all our British friends out there, just so you guys know, that's not a real network. No network they don't take a show and take a break for 6 years and then come back talking about it's season two, you know, like with Luther and what's another Sherlock. All the shows that I watch on the BBC, it's like the season's over. Now you're going to wait for effing ever. You know,
you just alienated all our British fans.
I sure did. They know what I'm talking about. That's why they watch American shows. That's why.
Hey, knock it off.
That's why they watch The Flash. You know, I'm just saying. It's just like it takes. Like Luther's been out for what? Like damn near like 8 years, man. And it's, what they got like 3 seasons or something? 6 seasons.
Yeah. Well, I think you know. Also, what's been happening a lot more recently for BBC shows is that their stars have gotten really famous.
That is true. But here, check out, here's the difference between Americans and, you know, the UK folk. Our shows take a hiatus for like, you know, mid-season break and they lose their entire audience, right? BBC shows go away for years and come back and they still have a show. It's like, that is amazing to me, man. How was that achieved?
You're so good.
They are good.
Sure. They make better television than Americans do. Sorry, America.
No, you just alienated all our American listeners.
Right. Let's just close the show down because now we've got nobody. Right.
No, they all listen to us. No, but so here we go. This is what gets me is that it looks like Moriarty is back, which is awesome.
Yeah, I love Moriarty.
I just love the show, man. The show is so good, man. I hope they make more than 4 episodes. Did you watch the Christmas special? Because I never watched it yet. I haven't watched it yet. Oh, I was like,
neither.
Cause once it came out on Netflix, it was after Christmas. I said, I'm going to wait till next Christmas to watch it, you know, because there will be no new episodes out by Christmas. That's for sure.
this season premieres January 1st.
See what I say? Boom. I'll watch it around Christmas.
Nuts.
Yeah. I love this. The actors, all of them. I mean, all of them. There's not a weak link in there. The brother, the woman who owns the flat. Everybody, man. Everybody who comes on the show is just awesome.
Well, it's probably, I mean, it's not wrong because so many other people feel this way, but to feel attracted to Benedict Cumberbatch. He's just a weird looking guy, but somehow he's very handsome.
Everybody says he's weird looking. I just think he's just a fella. He doesn't bother me one way or another the way he looks. Who's Watson?
What is his name?
I always forget.
Bill Baggins.
I forgot his name, but I really like the way he portrayed.
I love his Watson. Now, here's the thing. Do you like the movies with, I think we talked about this maybe already. Did you like the movies with Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr.?
There's some news that we didn't touch on. They're doing another one of those, and I love them.
Oh, my God, I love those.
I love them, man. I mean, they're awesome. I can't get enough of those movies. I'm so glad they're doing another one, man.
And I like it because if you watch these two, if you're a fan of both of those movies and this show, they're very different portrayals of these characters, but they both somehow work.
You couldn't be more different, to be honest with you. You know, and man, I don't know what even to say about it, man. I can't wait for that Robert Downey Jr. one to show up.
I'm excited. I really liked those. That was like my first. Until that movie came out, I've read Sherlock Holmes. I've had to read it for school. But I've always been like, it's okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not super in love with it or anything like that.
Oh, I have been.
But then afterwards I was like, maybe I should give this another chance. And I do like it.
So you do like, yeah. I didn't know it had like, you know, short stories and stuff. I thought it was all one big thing when I first started reading it. And it was like so long. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to finish this book. But then it was like, you know, that chapter's over. I was like, oh, okay. So it's like a bunch of short stories. Yeah, I read it quite often, to be honest with you. If I read something, it's Sherlock Holmes. So I'm looking forward to it, Tiff. Can't wait for it. Can't wait.
I'm pumped. So now some news that's not surprising, but very depressing nonetheless, because this has been happening more and more lately. Do you see that Mockingbird writer Chelsea Kane left Twitter because of harassment? And now sometimes when this happens, people just say, oh, I'm closing my Twitter down, but then they come back. Mm-hmm. She actually deleted the Twitter.
Now,
it's gone.
We had a lot of people chime in on this on our mm-hmm. social media. You know, some folks said, well, you know, is it a stunt? You know, did she just, you know, is this like, let's do some stuff? Like, I guess because that one shirt that Mockingbird had on said something about.
Ask me about my feminist agenda.
Yeah. And so there were some comments that people think that, you know, there's no bad publicity. So let's just create some publicity. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, sure.
What do you, Martin Freeman, that's the dude's name. Anyway,
Martin Freeman.
I'm sorry, y'all. But I'm more interested to hear what you have to think about this, Tiff, you know, coming from the woman point of view. I mean, people do the F you the world, which I don't understand why they, you know, just, you don't have to read the bull crap, you know, just wait for this. It's the internet. The internet is like a hurricane. It comes out of nowhere. You know, it hits everything and then it goes away next week. What was the last name of the hurricane that came through America? You know, you barely know, you know what I'm saying? And that's how the internet is. Once the storm is over with, people don't care any longer. So I don't understand why you're going to delete your shit and leave. And I'm leaving, you know, just hang out there and, you know, because then you got support that comes in too, because nobody likes a bully. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. People going to, you know, come to your rescue unless you're like some Aryan Nation butthole or something, you know, and
Aryan Nation butthole.
And even then, people got supporters.
It just depends on how sensitive you are. You know what I mean? Like, I think you have the right to be sensitive to that stuff. And, you know, not to say that the internet should be you would want the whole world to be a safe place for you to express your ideas and,
not
you know,
the internet.
But that's, it just isn't.
Oh, no. Shit.
So, like, the thing about it is that, like, I'm 50-50. I think here's the real problem, and here's the real villain behind this, is Twitter's terrible policy for harassment. Like,
I'm not familiar. Enlighten me.
Well, that's been the whole big thing for most people for all these things for a long time, is that Twitter will do hardly anything about harassment. So you can complain about it, you can make a complaint, but they won't, like, ban users, they make it very hard for people to, like, you know what I mean, they will after a while, but it takes a lot to get somebody banned, and then even then they can create new
accounts.
Yeah. Like, there's just not very strict rules for what is considered harassment and how persistent they have to be. So, like, that's always been a big complaint about Twitter. So I think that that's part of the problem, is that it's not that the internet should be considered a safe space. Like, yeah, we can't all hold your hand while something bad happens. But on the other hand, if you are in a place that's condoned as a place that should be safe, like Twitter or Facebook, then there should be harder rules for people who don't feel safe there.
Yeah. So
that's the problem. It's not like she's on 4chan. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But like, these people come out and make these statements and accusations, and sometimes it's really scary for women because they get rape threats and death threats, and that's the kind of stuff that should just not be tolerated.
Mm. So she tweeted out, Mockingbird is canceled, but we need to make sure at Marvel makes room for more titles by women about women kicking ass. And then it just, like, you just watch it just go downhill from that point.
Well, yeah, but I think, like, that comment wasn't, I think most of the harassment was from that t-shirt drawing.
I think it was too, because then, like you said, it gets crazy. I love you, text my 11-year-old daughter just sent me, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because she should be with her. You know, it's like, it's a hard thing to say, because should people be kind to each other? Absolutely. That would be the best world that we could live in, is if people were just kind and understanding. Do we live in that world? No. But should there be some type of monitoring in situations where, like, a company is running a website and saying, hey, we're running this website? Yeah.
Wow. I'm sitting here reading all these. It's like, the worst thing you can ever do is read comments. You know what I'm saying? Because they just get worse and worse. And you're like, how did this get here?
Excuse me. People just get, they just get so worked up and they feed off of each other and stuff. Like, you can't even read the comments on a, like, on an innocuous article that you're reading just for fun. Like, somebody is going to get upset.
Here's what I do sometimes, and this is bad. Don't, I'm going to tell you, don't do this. Just grab a random, like, you know, semi-popular YouTube video and look at the comments and just keep going down. Regardless, it just gets so crazy. Just go boom and worse and worse and drop down some more. And now he's talking about chopping off somebody's head. And you're like, what? How did that? It was puppets.
yeah. You're like, this is just, it's a video about dogs.
Right. right. It's so, don't do it, internet. Don't do it. Don't do it, listeners. Stay away from it. Look at the comments. Oh, God. Shoot. Well, that's, we got, is it time for a little break or a social media shout out, huh?
Social media break. Yeah.
I guess I can do this today. Let me try to.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Let me try
let's
to be get a
really
show
jazzed
host.
About it.
Let's see. Be sure you're following Fans of Patrol on all our social media outlets. You can go to fansofpatrol.com. There you get all our news. You get our cosplay and archive content. You can check us all out on all our listening places. Satchel, Stitcher, Podbeam, TuneIn, Google Play, iTunes. And if you go to iTunes, if you're not even on iTunes, get on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That's been helping us out to get more popular in America, because that's our whole goal, is to just get in everybody's ear all over the United States. We're someplace else too. I can't even think of where it is. Interact with us on Twitter and Facebook. We are super duper active on there all week long. If you want your news and stuff, we throw that out there. We clown. And we are a part of a Potter and Family, hashtag Potter and Family, and the Nerd Podcast Mafia. And that's it, right? I did a terrible job, but that's it.
let me ask you some questions.
Oh, okay. But shoot.
How was the party?
Holy shit.
Well, we can tell from the beginning of the show that it was pretty fabulous.
Yeah, you know what? I have to thank everybody for coming out who came to the party. We had some listeners there. We had just some partiers there. Mostly everybody came dressed up. The people who didn't come dressed up felt out of place, like, as they should. And they said, man, I should have wore a costume. Yes, you should have, because everybody's dressed up. People came out to party. The place really did a good job for us. What was that? What name of that place? It was Restaurant Europa in Pepper Pike. And, you know, they really did a good job. We had a really good waiters all night long. Alex was our waiter that kept everybody rolling. I mean, he went out and partied with us after that.
Oh my God, shout out to Alex.
Shout out to Alex, man. And I think he was messing around with my sister, but I don't care.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Montego, tell me,
what
did you dress up as?
Oh, I'm sorry. The signal got weird. What did you say?
Oh, what did you dress up as?
Oh, I was, the theme was villains last night. So I dressed up as Dr. Evil, and I tried to stay in character most of the night, which was annoying for most people. And my wife was a fembot. She walked around half naked the whole damn night, but it was great. Because most of the women were half naked. And then, you know, oh man, it was some good costumes. We had a young lady show up as Shonuff, the Shogun from what's the name of that movie? The Last Dragon. Oh, she looked great. There was so many good costumes. It looked like a con. I mean, it was a lot of great costumes there last night. People really went all out. Oh, man. I'm trying to think of some funny moments, man, but I was pretty much running the party all night long. And then once the pictures was taken, which I'm going to post later on today, I got a chance to dance pretty much for a few hours, man, just having fun and stuff. And ooh-wee, if you missed it this year, you got to come next year. It was so much bigger. The place was packed, and you'll see from the pictures, it was so much bigger than the last 2 years. And that's all we wanted to do, is grow. And, you know, we haven't paid the charity yet, but we'll be getting their money to them. Golden Cypress, they came out, and they had a ball. And the director, Pam Hubbard, what's up, Pam? She was telling me that she don't even go out. And she was like, this is just so much fun. This is great. She was just having such a good time. I mean, she could have told me, oh, this is nice. You know, you know when somebody's really having a good time, you know, sweating and stuff and smiling and having a ball. DJ Poppy kicked ass last night. He kept the party going, and we got some pictures of him doing his thing, and that's about it, man. And the drinks was rolling, and man, I, whew, Jesus Christ, I'm tired.
Jealous.
I'm tired. Yeah, Tiffo, we missed you last night. But we party for you.
I'm planning on next year. I'm gonna make this happen, even if I have to walk there.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we'll walk. We'll walk. Meet you halfway. We'll meet halfway. You in. We'll meet you
party in Chicago.
Right. Well, the only problem is, don't nobody know us in Chicago. So we was able to pull off a good party. So I'm really not. I wish Smooth was here because he sat there with a smile on his face all night. He was the Riddler.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He had the suit coat jacket with the, you know, question marks on it and the bowler hat. He was that Riddler. And there was another Riddler last night that was Smooth. He had a Kang and stuff. It was cool, man. It was a nice party. Whew. Okay, I'm not doing it justice and I'm running out of air. So let's get back to the news, Tiff.
Okay, so the working title film, J.J. Abrams' film, God Particle, is confirmed as a third Cloverfield movie.
I'm so confused with this article. I read it, and I haven't seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I found out was not supposed to be a part of that movie franchise, but then they made it part of the movie franchise or something like that.
It's such a strange... Like, you've seen Cloverfield, right?
I saw Cloverfield. I didn't see the second one. Dwayne spoiled it on a show one day.
I like 10 Cloverfield Lane, but yeah, it's not really. It is. It's a very if they hadn't made it part of Cloverfield, I don't think it would be nearly as brilliant of a movie as it is.
If they hadn't
married it to the Cloverfield franchise, because they took a movie that was like still pretty good. But they, because of like how they twisted it, they made it even more.
They made it ominous, better. Kind of had a greater weight, probably.
Yeah, I can
only imagine. Okay, so this movie here, I've never heard of this before. God Particle. I mean, never ever. And so this is a part three, and they were saying they kind of gave a synopsis or something about the Earth disappears,
like,
or something.
Space, yeah, they're in space, and like all the satellites, it's dead space. Like there's nothing there besides them, and so they're looking for like a rescue mission. But then when a spaceship finally shows up, they're not sure if it's enemy or friendly.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what the hell to do. Thinking about it. When I'm reading it, I was like, yeah, do you let them on or do you fire all missiles? You know what I'm saying? And of course, there'll be no communication, so it's gonna be a problem, and they'll probably get in the station. Look, I'm writing the whole movie. They're gonna get in the station. And it's gonna go dark, and then, you know.
Oh God!
So, I mean, anything with J.J. Abrams' stamp on it, man, I'm always interested, man. You know, even though I still have not seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, he did that, right? He did that movie on a sneaky, real quiet. I think
so. Yeah, but it's really, really good.
Oh, I'm probably gonna watch it. I'm telling you. Dwayne spoiled the whole thing. Didn't give anybody no spoiler warnings. Regular listeners to the show, they remember that. You know, it was like, oh God, dude, you can't just start blurting out essential plot. Points just on the show. So, I don't know. Are you interested in this at all?
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is that like they're so loosely connected that it's. I mean, why would you even bother calling them Cloverfield movies? But. I like a good space, like a scary space movie.
Yeah. Speaking of scary space, you watch any more scary movies on this one of those last weekends of Halloween? Did you watch anything more? What have you seen this week?
We watched the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that's for the first time I've actually seen it.
Uh huh.
It's really scary.
Oh, you've never seen it before? Oh, wow. Mm-mm.
But it's really sad, too. I cried. I sobbed.
What? Why were you crying? I'm sorry. I can't remember why would you cry?
So there's a scene, you know, they start to kind of like live their life in the mall, and they've been there for a while.
Oh, that's the one with the mall with the fast running. Oh, you cried when that dang old baby was born or something like that?
Hell no. I don't care about that baby. I cried with a friend across the way.
He
I'm hungry. So they were like, oh, we had to send them food with chips. So, like, I just felt so bad for that guy across the street. That was his buddy, you know?
Yeah, that movie was pretty good, man. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible movie, but it was a good... I think all scary movies are terrible movies, but, you know, I liked it, though. Yeah.
But I cried because I was so sad. But last night we watched... we actually watched John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness.
I've never heard of that movie before.
You should watch it. It's so good.
Really?
It's part of the thing...
The Thing trilogy we were talking about last week.
That we talked about. So we were thinking about that, and we were like, oh, well, we've never seen these other movies. So we looked up the trailers for the two of them,
uh-huh.
And one of them is really terrible looking. But In the Mouth of Madness is really good.
That's that 1994 one, right?
Yeah, 1995, and it's about this author who writes books that make you go insane.
Oh, really? Interesting.
And stars Sam Neill.
Oh, you know what? They just talked about this on the Epic Film Guys. The Countdown Pod was on there. They were doing a John Carpenter retrospective. And
yeah.
They were talking about it. So, yeah. Okay.
So I'd highly recommend.
So, that's a good one.
Yeah. What about interesting. You?
What did I watch? I know I watched a scary movie. Oh, I know what I watched. I only got a chance to watch one this week so far. My wife was giving me the business once again. But I hadn't seen it since I was a teen, American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie. What's wrong with that?
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that movie. I mean, yeah, nothing. I liked it. I like it a lot better now than I did when I first saw it as a teen. Because when I was a teen, I was really into scary movies like that. And, you know, for me, it was more psychological type of movie than it was, you know, blood and gore and stuff, because the wolf, you know, there was only like, you know, the wolf wasn't in the movie that much.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see a lot of werewolves and stuff, and they didn't give you that in American Werewolf in London. They were really, really clever to hold back. You know, they gave you the stuff in the beginning, and then when he was, you know, feeling the pulse of the wolf and, you know, seeing the dead people and stuff, I was like, man, this is a damn fine movie, man. You know, the movie theater scene with all the dead victims and stuff like that. I was like, this is a good movie. I enjoyed that movie. My wife hated it. You know, she kept telling me to turn it off, you know.
That happens.
Yeah, we digress way off the news.
That's right, because this is what people want. They want to hear about our movies. So the next piece of news, I know that you probably haven't played this game.
No, I haven't.
The Monster Hunter franchise?
Never even heard of it.
It's very, very popular in Japan and over here too. Not nearly as popular over here. But they announced a new one, Monster Hunter Double Cross. It's not Monster Hunter XX, it's Monster Hunter Double Cross.
Right. Oh, is it?
Good job, Japan.
Yeah, it says it right there, but I was like, I don't understand. So,
they always do that. They always use, it's just a strange thing.
Okay, all right, because I'm like, what?
Yeah, this X is a cross, it's not.
Gotcha.
So they're releasing this on 3DS. Now, that's because, well, Japan and the world loves the 3DS.
Like a fat rat.
Yeah, so like that's the handheld. But personally, I think this goes way better on the PSP or PS Vita.
I assume this is like a side scrolling shoot. Not shooter.
No,
but
it is like a
fighting game.
It's almost like an MMO.
Really?
But you don't play online. So like you're running around. It's an adventure game, and you're running around. You kill these big monsters, and you collect parts from them to make like weapons upgrades and armor upgrades.
Uh huh.
So like you kill, like you'll go into a jungle to kill the Conga Lala, which is like the giant.
Oh boy. Conga Lala.
And a giant gorilla. And you get the pelt, and then you make the pelt into like some armor, and then like the biggest ones, I think like T-Rex, like the dragons.
Yeah,
it's just like you're just getting these stuff. So it's basically just an adventure game where you're like getting more and more powerful, the best armor tiers that you can get, so you can get stronger. And like they used to, I played the one on the PSP,
okay.
And you could play with other people. What? So like you could see them on your screen, like you could get close to them, you know, and you'd share your like LAN connection, and so like you'd fight together.
Yeah. You are into this, I can see.
It's really, really fun. But I was always really bad at it because I always picked the weapons based on what I liked and not what was most powerful. So I always use like dual wield, which isn't very powerful in the Monster Hunter game.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I digress. This is a really exciting thing for Japan. They love it.
This is something really exciting for you because you love it. I could tell.
I can't play it on the DS.
Oh, you don't have. Oh, why
I
do. Not?
I have a 3DS. I just don't like it on the 3DS. I like it on the PSP.
And it's not coming to PSP.
No.
Only the DS.
And before that, the one they released before that was on the Wii U.
Hey, they might release it on the brand new system that we talked about last week, the Switch.
I ain't buying that. I'm not buying the Switch. You get out of here, Nintendo.
They're going to make you a game you just got to have. Just one game.
That's what they do. They have like one thing.
One game, and you go buy a whole $300 system, you know, for the one. People do that shit, man. It's amazing.
They do.
And like, yeah, if they release so and so, then I'm gonna buy it. And I'm like, I had to get it. You know, like, damn, you spent $400 for the $60 game.
Get out of here. You're a fool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've done it. I've done it, so I can't judge you. I'm in the ranks with you, my friends.
Have I ever done? You know, yeah, I did. I bought a Nintendo Cube. No.
GameCube?
What was the one that came after the Cube? It had the little mini disc in it. I forgot the name of that thing, but I bought that for Star Wars Rogue Squadron. It's the only one that it was on, and I actually bought that system for it. And that's about it. I only played a couple of games on it, man, like Robotech and something else. But I did buy it for that. That's back when I was young and free and didn't have wife and kids and had money just to burn. So what's up with this guy retiring, Tiff? This
is hell of a story. Video games. Uwe Boll, everyone's favorite video game director.
I don't know anything about this guy other than what I saw in this article, but he doesn't. Nobody seems to care, huh?
Well, no, he is just he's notorious for making terrible video game movies. But like every time a video game's going to come out, people are like, "Oh, Uwe Boll, he's going to make the movie," which is so terrible because he makes awful movies. So here's some movies he's made. I had to look them up. So he also made, like, probably one of the most notoriously bad is In the Name of the King.
Never heard of it.
Oh, it's a Dungeon Siege movie?
No.
Oh, it's just terrible. Hey, it's probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
He has, like, a really, really bad attitude. Does he, like...
A terrible attitude. Did you watch the video at the end?
He talks about Keanu Reeves and all kind of people being terrible, you know, just horrible actors and all these people in Hollywood. Is that the guy?
Yeah, he's garbage. He just basically said, the last thing you can watch on this article is a YouTube video set called Fuck You All, I think.
I saw that a while ago. I mean,
yeah. And he was like, crowdfunding is bullshit, and this is bullshit, and I can't believe that you'd rather watch a movie about wizards.
Yes, yes. This guy's, how long is he going to be retired? Maybe he can't, nobody's giving him money anymore. I don't know. No,
but that's what he's saying. He's like, he's got tons of money. He said, I have enough money. But it's like, he's just mad because people don't understand him. It's like, no, you make garbage.
Yeah, he does. I mean, and what really gets me is I've never heard another artist speak so badly against other artists. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, man.
Yeah, very unprofessional.
Damn, dude. Yeah, he's horrible. So he's retiring, huh?
Yeah, supposedly. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can
he'll be back.
Maybe we can get him on a podcast and come in and cuss him.
Yeah, he can talk to us about how he made Alone in the Dark.
He did that movie. Oh.
You guys, he's garbage. And the worst thing is that it's not even like, I actually tend to give people leeway, even if they make something pretty bad, because I mean, I've never made a movie. I've never written a book. I don't know what it's like to do these things. I'm sure it's very hard. I think it's very hard to make something cohesive, even if it's not good.
Have you ever seen Alone in the Dark? I've never seen it.
I've seen some of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know he did Blood Rain, and that movie. Oh, I think it had Michael Madsen. No, not Mike. Yeah, I think it did have Michael Madsen in it way back in the day. It was terrible. He had a terrible wig. It was terrible.
So yeah.
Happy retirement, Chief.
He's a turd. He's just a turd. He's a garbage human. Yeah. Like he's just like. That's the worst part about it is it's not even that you're not talented or whatever, because, you know, it's fine. But the fact that you are so ungrateful and so rude about it is the worst.
Yeah, well, yeah. Bye-bye, Chief.
Yeah, can't miss until you're gone.
Right, right.
So our last piece of news here is that some new images from Logan have hit the web.
Yeah, so there he is looking like he got the hell beat out of him. I'm really interested in seeing what's going on with this movie, Tiff, because I guess the significant thing is all the battle damage he has on his body, and he's supposed to have a healing factor. Now, if you keep up with the comic books, you know, he had lost the healing factor or he had got diminished some type of way. You know, I can't remember exactly, but it was in a big event, and that's how the old man Logan story happened, and it was way in the future. Because other Avengers was in it, you know, they had the Hawks, you know, Bruce Banner had went bad and had a bunch of kids, and you know, they were the worst thing on the planet, and Hawkeye was in it, and you know, these movies aren't gonna have any Avengers in it, or it makes me wonder if it's gonna have any X-Men other than Professor X in it, because they, you know.
Yeah, I don't think so. But did you open it and read it? Because it said that they confirmed that little girl is X-23.
You know what? That was as soon as we finished the podcast last week. That was I saw that it was confirmed, and it was like, okay, X-23. So I mean, that's kind of like, okay, I guess for non comic book readers, it's like, you know, oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty interesting. But if you read comics, you know, that's not a new thing. And then I really was hoping, like I made a comment last week, that it might be Hope, the girl that was traveling time with Cable, just to kind of, mm-hmm. just because that would be a good way to tie their universe together, you know, in my opinion, you know, the Cable, because he's going to the Deadpool movie and, you know, boom, boom, boom. So I was hoping it was going to be Hope, but I guess this is going to be his, he's going to be, I don't know. With most mutants, their powers don't kick in until they're adolescent, you know? So it makes you wonder if this little girl is going to have a healing power that young, you know? So, interesting. So I really want to see this movie. Really,
yeah, cool. It looks better and better though all the time.
Yeah, dude. I don't need to see any more though, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you gotta go dark.
Yep.
It's time for you to go dark.
Once again, because I still haven't watched that Star Wars trailer.
I think you're fine now. It's getting close, so you're all right.
Yeah, I'm cool. Oh boy, so we had a Facts on Patrol all set up, but Smooth,
it's so good.
We didn't even mention that Smooth wasn't on the show. Smooth have not less fans of Patrol. Smooth set up another one of his basketball games that he want to get out of, but he's stuck because he's the coach, and he should have never did this. So he'll hear this and be like, you know, shut up, punk. Anyway, that's going to do it for our news. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back with our comics, and these are some damn fine comics. I'm already blowing it and saying I like them both. So we will be right back. All right, we are back, and it's time for some Doctor Strange number one and the Sorcerer Supreme. Now, this is a number one book. I was a little confused this week because they released another Doctor Strange book. So this is from the Marvel Now collection. Mm-hmm. So I don't know which one is, you know, the current storyline, because I have like 17 Doctor Strange books that I haven't read yet. I'm so behind still. I bought them, but I just haven't got a chance to read them yet. So Robbie Thompson is the writer, and Javier Rodriguez, he drew this thing. He's the penciler. Mm-hmm. So we start this book. This is a pretty good book. I'm trying to set it up for y'all. Merlin, back in medieval times, is in a dungeon, and he's walking around with some beast that he has chained up. Now King Arthur and his crew come down, and they try to stop him. What are you doing? And he has this ominous key. He's about to lock this creature in this dungeon. And then his apprentice comes down. He tries to stop him and stuff, and he like fries him. And it turns out that his apprentice was one of the creatures. He's like, obviously the court has been infiltrated, Merlin himself. So they flash forward to the future, and because the Merlin's like, I gotta go get I need a Sorcerer Supreme to help me with this threat. Doctor Strange is battling a creature, and he you find out really quickly his magic has been diminished, and I haven't been reading the book, so I guess something is going on where he's not as powerful, but he's like perpetrating a fraud, like he's, you know, got all this power, but he doesn't. Merlin comes and, you know, explains some things to him, tells him he needs his help, and they go through this journey, and they're old friends. They know each other because, you know, they travel through time, even though Stephen Strange doesn't like to travel through time, which I kind of like. He takes him to another dimension, and almost a ton of Sorcerer Supremes throughout the ages is in this field fighting, and they all know each other, and they all sense that Stephen Strange is weak from the beginning. So not to spoil the whole thing, fight happens, and they have to do something to stop this threat that's just out of control. And so it's kind of cool because there's a Wiccan is in the book who's one of Wanda's kids, but he's an old man. And he's a Sorcerer Supreme in his time. And there's just some stuff going on. And it's all about this threat. I love this book, man. I love Doctor Strange even before they decided to do a movie. When the run started, you know, about a year ago, you know, mm-hmm. me and Dwayne, we reviewed the first one, and it was awesome. And, you know, it's right on it's so much better, especially than it used to be, because Doctor Strange used to be too damn strange, like back in the 80s, you know. It was just like, you're like, damn, man, maybe we need to like do some acid to read this, you know. But it's an adventure, and I really like what's happening. What about you, Tiff?
Yeah, this book is really, really fabulous. As far as the art is really good.
Yes, it is.
And there is this really wonderful 2-page spread that you get where they're traveling through time.
Yes, that was nice. Very that psychedelic.
Is most, might be one of my favorite things I've seen in comics in the last year.
Really? Really?
Yeah. It's 2 pages. It's hard to explain unless you guys can see it, but like they're traveling through time, so you kind of see them in this whacked out kind of like they're big and small and they're crawling all over themselves, and it's really strange. But very nicely done. It kind of gives you that feeling like, oh, this is why he hates it. It's kind of like mind bending and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I do like, there's some really funny parts in this comic, and not to spoil anything, but during that fight.
Yeah. I didn't want to spoil it. I was like, that was so cool.
That's really funny. So there's a part during the fight where like there's a comment made, and it's really funny. There's lots of really funny things in this comic, but it doesn't take away from the seriousness of it. It's a really nice blend of both, like what you expect from a comic book to be kind of funny, fun, but also serious and some sad stuff. It's really good.
And if you never read Doctor Strange before, it's not a good jumping on point to say, you know, this will tell me everything I need to know, but it's a good jumping on point for an adventure. Because the thing about Marvel now, you know, Marvel bothers the shit out of me, because all they do is just every time there's a new story arc, they start the number over now. And so,
yeah, that makes it confusing.
Yeah, it's not true number ones. So, you know, don't think it's that. You know, if you know a little bit about the character, know that he's the Sorcerer Supreme, it'd be a good book to read adventure wise. But you're not going to find out why his powers is diminished and how he got his powers and, you know, why he's a Sorcerer Supreme. All that has nothing to do with it. It's just a story arc that's labeled number one. So I think that's about it on that one. What do you have over there, Tiff?
So I picked also a number one, which is not really a number one. It's just a standalone, it seems like, because they have the Punisher.
Yes.
Because there is an ongoing Punisher series right now, and this has nothing to do with it.
Oh, I was wondering that also.
So the writer on this book is Jerry Conway, and the artist is Felix Ruiz. And it's basically a story about how there's some corruption going on. Obviously, there's always corruption. But there's kind of like, I don't know if he's like a gang leader or just somebody who's done some bad stuff.
Yeah.
So the Punisher is after him, and so is a cop.
Right.
They're both after the same guy. So we kind of see him, the Punisher, we're following the Punisher, and then we're following a guy who's following the Punisher as they're looking for this guy, and he tracks him through till eventually we get to this house where they're keeping children hostage.
As they're coming by trick-or-treating, they snatch it in there. Trick-or-treating.
They're like, trick-or-treat, and they're like, come on in, kids. Now you're my hostage.
Yeah, actually pretty chilling to me, Tiff.
Yes, I thought that was terrifying.
Yeah, it was pretty chilling, man. I was like, shit.
There's some stuff in this book where I'm like, ugh. I don't want to spoil what happens at the end just because I don't like to spoil the comic books for you guys who might want to read them. But there's some really nice conversations between good and bad. And that's always the thing about Frank Castle is, you know, he's working in that kind of gray area where, like, he doesn't, you know, he sees himself as a bad person. But he's working for justice in some ways, but he's the supreme upholder of justice. So, like, even if where we would say, okay, I'm sorry. For Frank Castle, everything's black and white.
Right.
So, like, you've done bad, you're bad. That's not always the case. But one of the things I will say about this book is there is some things like, okay, they save the kids. That's not a spoiler. I don't want to tell you how they do it. But they do end up killing someone in front of the children.
Yeah.
And I thought,
damn.
You might as well not even save them. You just messed all these children up.
Yes, indeed.
But this book is really good. The artwork is a little strange, but it kind of fits for the story.
The artwork is very strange, but it completely fits. I like it. It couldn't have been any other way, in my opinion. Thought it was perfect.
Oh. So I'm surprised you like this, because I didn't think you're not a big Punisher fan or anything like that.
I can't stand the Punisher. I don't like him as a... I mean... I hate the Punisher, but that's a good thing because he invokes emotion. It's not that I hate him because I think he's just a terrible way to go. I like that character exists in the Marvel Universe. But if I lived in a Marvel Universe and I was a hero, I would hate him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you're kind of more along the hero line.
Right. I don't like stuff like I would want to stop him. But,
yes.
You know, the angles that this thing was, that the artist set up really reminded me of Punisher Warzone, you know, the Lexi Alexander movie. Mm-hmm. especially like the opening stuff when they're looking across the street and stuff like that.
Yes, it does like that. And the kind of three goons that are there because yeah. There's that scene where he talks to those kids.
Yeah, you know what I like? It was one scene, and it's right at the beginning. I'm going to spoil it because it's not a big spoiler. But while the thugs were beating the dude up, he had on a Punisher shirt.
Yes.
And he made him take that off. I was like, oh, that's pretty slick, you know. And then, you know, there's a Halloween party going on. Somebody is being Galactus. The kids are dressed up. And
I like that.
Yeah, and I like the flashbacks with the cop and stuff, you know, with his father and stuff like that. Because it's like two stories going on. You're following this cop and you're following the Punisher. Excellent book, man. Best Punisher story I have ever read. Honestly, I really dug it.
It's really nice. It's very nicely done. It's very tight.
Yep.
For such a short book, it's an average length book, but it's the story gets told and it wraps up and it feels like an ending, a beginning.
Yep.
And it's not too long. It's just really, really well done.
It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And yep. I really dug that, man. I'm like, damn, I wish they did more books like this so you could just say, oh, okay, all right, that's cool, you know, great, can't wait to see what happens next month, you know, instead of, you know, oh God, nothing was resolved, you know what I'm saying? This was great, great, great book. So, high praise.
Yeah, you guys, I picked both of these books. I'm the real winner this week.
And they were Marvel books. I was like, what?
I know. She picked these Marvel books? I'm so sneaky, you guys.
I was so surprised. Tiff picked two Marvel books, man, because I can buy Marvel on my phones and DC, but I can't buy like Comixology, like all the other books you pick. I have to buy that from the laptop.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can do this on a run.
I'm easy for you guys.
All right.
And I picked these ones for reasons.
Okay. Oh, the one was super Halloween. And
yes, I picked one because it's super Halloween-y and another one because we're getting very close to Doctor Strange time.
Doctor Strange is next week, Tiff. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I can't wait. I hope they do one of my favorite characters some justice there. I don't want to see no injustices there. Have you heard any chatter or buzz you know, about the movie so far?
Mm.
Nothing.
Have you?
No, because I think they released it in the UK. Maybe. I know Skip to the End podcast already has a review out, but I think they get stuff ahead of time, you know, like.
Yeah, like screeners.
Screeners and stuff like that. Yeah. So, man, the surprise is on our listeners this week because that's going to be it for the show, man. We got nothing else left, and I'm like nursing this hangover so bad. I feel terrible, but I waited to the end of the show to complain. So, oh, I feel terrible. My voice is gone. I had to do the costume contest. I had a microphone and still lost my voice last night. I don't know what that's all about. Every time
you're partying hard,
huh? Oh yeah,
partying hard.
Oh, absolutely. So next week, I'm sure Smooth will be back next week. My yes. goodness, his fans are Smooth. Y'all ain't seen him in a long time. So he'll come back and act like he never left. And we have Doctor Strange next week. I don't know
yeah.
if we have anything else, but we definitely have Doctor Strange. And we're going to celebrate because we've been waiting on that Big Daddy. And we'll have our comics and the rest of the stuff. And so with that, I'm your host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my studious and sensitive and hell, we have the host of Fans of Patrol, Tiffobot.
Yes. It's been lovely.
It's been nice. So with that, that's it. And we'll see you next week. And party on. And until then, we will be on patrol. But I can't, 'cause we can't.